Hey everyone, welcome back to the Your Fielder's Choice NHL podcast. I'm your host, Devin. Today I will be riding solo as we dig into today's six-game NHL slate. So let's go ahead and jump right in. As always, we'd like to take a look at Vegas. Vegas drives a lot of ownership with a sport like hockey. Colorado has the highest implied total at 3.6, followed by Toronto at 3.4, Boston at 3.3, Edmonton at 3.2. St. Louis 3.1, Vegas 3. We have a trio of teams in Washington, Arizona, and LA with 2.8, and then Minnesota 2.6, and Anaheim and San Jose at 2.5. So right off the bat, we can pretty well predict that we've got about three big names that should see some ownership. Nathan MacKinnon is going to be very chalky with that Colorado total. They're the highest implied total on the board. Anytime we see that, the biggest name from that team is going to be chalky typically. And then in this case, that's Nathan MacKinnon. We have Toronto coming in at 3.4. Auston Matthews did skate yesterday. He is hopeful to play today. We will have to keep an eye on that news. If he does play, then he obviously becomes a strong option as well. And then for Boston, we have, your perfection line, the big three of Bergeron, Pasta, and Marchand. Typically, Pasternak is going to be the one to see the most ownership of the three, especially when we've got some other big name centers on the board. And last we have Edmonton. So of course, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. So starting with center, Nathan MacKinnon, as I mentioned, they have the highest implied total. He's coming off of a decent game in which they actually got upset. They had the highest implied total of the slate, last slate as well, that they were on, got upset. Actually got spanked 2-6. Despite this, MacKinnon still had a solid day, putting six shots on net, six shots and an assist. So good for plus a block shot. So good for 18.3 points. So he now has 18.3 and 22 in his last two. So it's actually, by his standards, having a down season. The goals have not been there nearly at the rate that we expect. At some point, he's going to go nuts. So with him having high projected ownership, this is not the slate to get cute and fade him. So expect MacKinnon to be chalk for good reason. And then you have the decision of, do you play a McDavid or not at 9,100? I'm prioritizing MacKinnon, but as always, you can play McDavid. McDavid has double digits in every game this season, but three. He actually has been held off the score sheet. Edmonton as a whole has in two straight games. He put six shots on that last game. I expect him to come back out being super aggressive like that. Probably see five plus shots here from him. So he should be able to hit that shot bonus. And you're not going to keep MacKinnon off the score sheet for, it's hard to see them getting shut out three games in a row. So McDavid. So I certainly like McDavid. To a lesser extent, I like Bergeron and Leon Draisaitl. I think you really need to start with one of the two big boys, though. We do have some cheaper exposure. Oh, we also have Auston Matthews if he plays. Auston Matthews has been phenomenal this year. He's averaging almost a goal per game. He's historically better at home than on the road, which he is on the road today, but really, it hasn't mattered for him this year. So you can add Auston Matthews in there. I think you need one of the three big boys, with MacKinnon being the chalkiest option. If you can get two of the three and feel comfortable about your lineup, you can absolutely do that. I'm fine with any of McDavid or Auston Matthews. We do have a punt at the position as well. Adam Henrik actually got put on waivers, was not claimed. He's re-entering the lineup here in a top six role and power play one. So as long as that remains, which as of now, that's where he's listed. That was updated today. He's only 3K. So yes, they have a really low total, but St. Louis is so banged up. They have not exactly been great defensively. So Adam Henrik coming in at 3K in a top six role, power play one. I certainly don't mind that as a punt. You also have Cody Glass at 3.4. He's not in quite as good of a spot as he was last game. He was on the top Second line last game, he moved back down to this third line, but he's still manning the top power play. So 3.4K coming off of a game in which he scored a goal. I certainly would add him to your player pool as a value option. He's had a pretty decent season, actually. More GPP here, but San Jose's big boys have actually been playing really well lately. So Logan Couture can certainly be in your player pool, especially for GPPs. They do have the lowest implied total of the day, but Couture has a point in four straight, five of his last six. He's averaging a point per game this year. He's got double digits in every game but four. So he's been super consistent this year. They are at home. Vegas likes Colorado to figure things out here, so a little bit risky, but Couture certainly, especially GPP, needs to be on your radar. Let's move over to wing. I'll try to keep this short today. Gabriel Landeskog comes in at still only 5.4K. Colorado has the highest implied total of the day, like I've said. He's actually coming off of back-to-back goal games after what's been a not a very good season by his standards. So to get Landeskog at 5.4K with a high implied total coming off of two straight games with a goal, both those games he has two or more shots, playing 18 plus minutes in both those games, you certainly got to like Landeskog coming in at 5.4K is very cheap exposure to that explosive Colorado top line. You have Rantanen as well at 7.2. Nothing wrong with that play. Rantanen's been awesome this year. Landeskog should be the one to see ownership, but Rantanen's certainly viable as well. I mentioned Pasta at 8.8. He's pricey, but he has been phenomenal with 18 points in 12 games this year, including 9 goals. He has double digits in every game but two, including six straight with double digits, multi-point games in three of his last four. He's had four or more shots in six straight games, even picking up some block shots in that time. He's on that top affection line, top power play unit. So he should be a popular play and a very strong one at that. So you need to keep an eye on him and decide where you want to spend up McKinnon. Do you want to pair him with Pasta? Or do you want to, grab McDavid? Can you get three? You'll have to tinker around and see with that. So we also have a punt on the board. Edmonton has shook things up after getting shut out two straight games, and they are finally reuniting one of my favorite lines from the end of last year, which was Edmonton 2, which was Nugent Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl, and Yamamoto. So this leaves Connor with need of a new winger here with Nugent Hopkins sliding to the second line. So it appears that that is going to be James Neal coming in at just 2.7K. Alex Chiasson is injured, so Neal also should be sliding into that top power play role. So you're getting, and that's assuming he plays. James Neal has missed the last few games, but I believe he will play tonight. So James Neal at 2.7K. He does have points in back-to-back games. Now he's getting slid into a much better role with McDavid as his center. So James Neal at 2.7 is a very strong play today that you certainly need to consider, especially if you want to run, Pasta and McKinnon, but you still want a piece of Edmonton big boys, then you can use James Neal as a super cheap way to get a piece of that. We also have, if you can't afford Pasta or Bergeron, you do have Brad Marchand, the third piece of that perfection line, coming in at 7.4K. Averages 1.22 points per home game. Very strong. Certainly nothing wrong with that play. Moving on, we have Mitch Marner at 7.8. Again, strong play if you need him. Prefer him at home, but he is still averaging 1.14 points per road game, especially if Matthew's back. He certainly is viable. We have Mark Stone coming in at under 6K at just 5.7. Joe Thornton, he's not putting up big numbers, but he is putting up assists. He's been fairly consistent. 3.7K makes for a solid play. If Matthews is back, again, not my favorite. He only has double digits on three of the three games this season. I think I'd rather take like a James Neal, but that is cheap exposure to Matthews if you wish. See who else we have here. Do some other punts, like a Rudolph Bossers from San Jose, quietly having a decent year. He has 6 points in 9 games this year, including points in four straight. Three of his last four being double digits, and the fourth game being 9.3, which he comes in at 2,900. Certainly a viable punt here. Yamamoto, I mentioned, I like him with that stud line now, 3.5K. He certainly gets a boost with Nugent Hopkins there as well with him. Nugent Hopkins is a 7-1, it's a little overpriced. I think I'd rather just, play Neal or, even Max Pacioretty comes in at 7K. He really shouldn't be more, he shouldn't be cheaper than Nugent Hopkins. I'd rather play Pacioretty in that range at 7K. We do have a couple guys to have on your radar that are just running hot right now is the San Jose guys in general. Evander Kane's been just red hot right now. He has double digits in four straight, including three of those four being over 25 points each. So he is just red hot right now. He's putting 4 to 5 shots on net a night, seeing around 20 minutes a night. So they're really leaning on him right now at home. And then Kevin LeBanc as well, after a pretty mass season, has finally started to turn it up a little bit. He has points in four straight as well, 5 of 6. He's got double digit fantasy points in four of his last 6 games, seeing about 16 minutes a game. So again, lower total here, but if you want to ride some players that are just kind of running hot here, then that's certainly some players you can consider. It did literally just come in as I'm doing this, by the way. Austin at Matthews will return tonight. So Austin Matthews certainly in play here. Also gives a boost to Marner, Joe Thornton, etc. So literally just got that as I was talking. He can be added to your player pool. That's we'll add more on the I'm probably overlooking some. I apologize. I'm actually doing top plays today, so if I have any more wings to add to my list, I certainly will. Like I said, I'm trying to keep the pod kind of short today. Let's move over to defense. Per usual, we're showing Brent Burns as the chalky pay-up option. Per usual, that's a hard pass for me. I can't pay 6,500 for a guy who isn't consistently getting me double digits. And right now, he has gotten him in three of his last four, but only 5 of his last 8 have been double digits, and only 3, 7 of his 19 games on the season have actually been in double digits. So I'm sorry, 3 of his last 5. I said 5 of his last. So yeah, only 7 of 19 games on the season have been in double digits. I can't pay 6,500 for that. It burns me, so be it. But I talk about this every pod. I'm looking for these guys I'm paying up for. I need them to be consistent. It's like Eichel on yesterday's slate. I wasn't going to pay that for a guy who had like 3 double-digit games all season. Matthew Tkachuk, another guy. Literally 3 games on the season, double digits, and he was priced like 6-9 or something. I can't pay that. I need guys, especially when I'm paying up. A Jhoule Farabee is a perfect example yesterday, coming in at 6,200. He had just been super consistent, double digits every single game, essentially. Locked him in yesterday. He had a 2-goal night at a discount from somebody like Patrick Laine, who came in having only a handful of double-digit games on the season, and he disappointed yesterday. So when I'm paying up, I'm going to look at these logs, and I'm looking for those consistent guys. So keep that in mind. So that's a hard pass for Burns for me. per usual, I'm kind of looking to pay down here at the position. One play I really like is Matt Grizzlick is back. He's only 3.8K, and he is slated to return to that top power play unit. So, again, especially if you can't get one of the big three for Boston, you could look at a Nick Ritchie or you could look at a Matt Grizzlick as cheap exposure to their power play one, cheap exposure to the big boys. 3.8K is a very nice price for exposure to that top unit. So certainly have him on your radar. And then another guy, Samuel Girard, price went up a little bit, still only 4-1. Makar remains out, so he's running that top power play unit. He delivered last game with a goal, so he now has double digits in two straight and four of his last six. So quietly having a decent season with 14 points in 17 games, playing big minutes right now. He has 24 or more minutes in four straight. So he should be pretty popular here at 4.1K. So I like the Grizzlick Girard pairing, pretty cheap. I think I'd rather go that route than paying up at the position. We do also have quietly, I talked about him last pod, but he was on the slate and he came through again as Cam Fowler all of a sudden is playing really well. He's got points in four straight, including double digits in three of his last four, playing about 22 minutes a game. Again, low total here, but you could do a lot worse than 3,300 for a guy who's playing pretty well right now. So, as always, I don't mind taking a punt here with a guy who's in decent form, even if their total is low. If he's getting power play time and is in decent form, I don't want to play. Do have some, just we'll have to double check, but some guys like Sean Walker is looking like he may be on power play too at literally minimum price. That's probably the cheapest guy in a power play role. It does look like potentially Jacob Zorbal. Let me double check on that one quick. Sorry, I just want to make sure. Okay, yeah, he is not on the power play. Okay, so scratch that. Let me double check on Nathan Walker here quick too. Make sure he is. So we've got, no, it looks like potentially Matt Roy still remaining on that power play. So we'll have to confirm this stuff. Unfortunately, there can be some uncertainty with power play units with lines. So that's why I always like to run that last cheat sheet update just to make sure. But keep an eye on Los Angeles Kings power play too. Potentially get a flat out punt defender if you need it. Like I said, I'm really leaning the Grizzlick Girard pairing for pretty cheap. You're looking at what, 8K combined, not even. So that puts you in a nice spot. Moving over to goalie, which I find to be a fairly weak spot today. We do have Philip Grubauer to pay up for. San Jose is running kind of hot, so I'm a little weary of that. They did just get spanked by him, by San Jose last game. 8.4K, considering his recent form has not been great. I'm iffy on that. Freddie Anderson is back. Edmonton's been really struggling. GPP only, though. Edmonton's too good to get shut out a third time in a row. I do like both sides of this Kings game, especially if Calvin Peterson starts. Calvin Peterson has quietly been just super consistent in terms of DFS. He has double digits in every game but three this year. So that includes double digits in five straight and eight of nine. So after starting the season off with two bad games where he was 7.7, 4.2, he's been double digits in every other game but one. So eight of his last nine. Super consistent. I really, really like him if he starts against an Arizona team that's potentially without Garland, who's probably their most dangerous scorer. So I certainly like that play. I do like Quick as well, but I would prefer Peterson. So if Peterson starts, I'm probably locking him in here at 7-4. Quick, I don't mind either. He has double digits in three of his last four. His last game, he still played okay last game, gave up three goals to a red hot Minnesota team for 8.4, which at 7,400 isn't going to kill you if he only scores 8.4. But again, if it's Peterson, I'm really a fan of that. You have Fleury potentially, you could consider that. I guess Binnington, but again, I'm not crazy about any of these plays. I'm really probably leaning somebody from that Kings game, especially if it's Peterson. Ranta, I don't mind either, but really hoping probably Quicker or Peterson, who is who I'm looking at the moment. So, yeah, that's it today. GPP wise, I really like Edmonton too. Nugent Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl, and Yamamoto. Again, they were phenomenal last year at the end of the year. I have no clue why they just now put them back together. I mean, that line was borderline unstoppable last season. So might take them a game or two to find their chemistry again, but certainly GPP. I love a full stack of that line. You could always, I always love a Boston one stack, especially when they're not going to be uber chalk, and with McKinnon on the board, you can get these guys a little bit low ownership. So Boston one stack is always solid. Of course, Colorado one stock or stack the power play. Don't sleep on a guy like Kadri. He's been playing pretty well. Burakovsky's been playing pretty well. And then another two of these lower total teams, the actual two lowest totals on the board. Anaheim's got some players been running pretty hot lately. So I like Anaheim, a little Anaheim stack, and I like San Jose stack. Again, they've got a couple guys that are actually running super hot, and Evander Kane, especially leading the way there. So, Anaheim power play one, I would say, with Cam Fowler and Comtois from the second line are also viable, and then San Jose power play one is who I would be considering as your low owned GPP stack. And again, I especially like the fact that Bossers has moved up to that top line. So Evander Kane, Bossers, two guys that are playing pretty well that I like as a little GPP stack here. So, all right, with all that being said, we'll catch you next time. Good luck.